Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God. Isaiah 61, verse 1. Brother Jesse, then, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Dear God, I thank you for this day, and I do ask that you would speak to us, that you would show us things from your word, that Holy Spirit would convict us, convince us, and teach us tonight. Mm-hmm. Would you please have attentive and open ears and minds to learn from you? Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. Isaiah 61, 1. This is a prophecy once again of the Lord Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. So we're down to number 4 in this message. The things we have seen are the Spirit of the Lord God wants good tidings preached unto the meek. Number 2, he wants binding up for the brokenhearted. Number 3, he wants liberty proclaimed to the captives. Number 4, he wants the proclaiming of the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. That's from verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Now, sometimes when we talk about the day of the Lord, we may be thinking in our minds about the rapture, but technically the day of the Lord is not the rapture. The day of the Lord is the coming judgment upon this earth. You know, we have lived so much under the grace of God and the patience and the mercy of God that we have, well, hopefully not we, but there's a lot of people in this world that are going to be absolutely shocked and awed at the power and holiness of God. They're just not expecting it because we have lived so much under God's grace and mercy. Notice in 2 Peter 3, 2 Peter 3, we have lived under unbelievable patience of God. When you think that abortion has been legalized in America since 1973, and that on the average, over 3,000 babies per day in America are slaughtered. Can you imagine that? I mean, yesterday we remembered 911. After 20 years, flags are still at half mast. Flags, Greenville that had their fire truck, the boom way out there with a flag on it yesterday, remembering 911. When I went to take the orders in to mail them out yesterday, there was a woman walking down the sidewalk and with her little son dressed up as a fireman, and they were carrying an American flag. After 20 years, how many of you remember where you were 20 years ago, what that morning? Yeah, I remember I was up here 20 years ago. I remember before I come up here, I said to my wife, what a beautiful day. There was not a cloud in the sky that day. And then that happened. And at least in New York City, there was a huge cloud of smoke that day. And after 20 years, we're still mourning the loss of 3,000-some people on that day. If you're going to run the flags at half-mast, you might as well do it every day, amen? Because every day in our country, Over 3,000 babies, on the average, are slaughtered. You talk about terrorists? Who's the terrorist? I would say we have some terrorists in white coats. Doctors, and some states, you don't even have to be a physician to do an abortion. You can be a murderer without DR before your name, or MD after your name. So what a sad day. So when I think about that, I think, wow, all these years, millions and millions of babies have been slaughtered, not only here, but around the world. But 2 Peter 3 and verse 8, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as what?
1,000 years.
1,000 years. And 1,000 years as what?
One day.
I mean, I just was talking about since 1973, the slaughter of innocent babies. But the Bible just says here, hey, one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. So if God allowed that to go on for 1,000 years, we just kind of forget about the almighty wrath of God. But why is he so patient? Verse 9 is why. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. You see, some men do count that as slackness, like, oh, it doesn't matter. But is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should what?
Perish,
but that who? All should come to what? Repentance. So it's not that God doesn't know what's happening. He's got the exact number. You know, we were saying, well, on the average, it's over 3,000 every day of the year that are slaughtered, these babies. But God has the exact number. He knows exactly how many million, right down to the last baby. He knows. So for the most part, in our lives, all we know is God's patience and long-suffering, day by day, week by week, month by month, decade after decade, like with abortion, century after century, and millennium after millennium. In other words, 1,000 years, just like a day. 1,000 years, just like a day. We only know his seemingly endless mercy. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And so there are people that, because of his seemingly endless mercy and grace, that they don't think anything's ever going to happen. In Matthew 5:43, in other words, they are not ready for the day of the Lord. They're not ready for the vengeance of Almighty God. In Matthew 5:43, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, what?
Love your enemies.
Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be children of who?
Your Father,
which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on who? The evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and what? On the unjust. So when the sun comes up, God doesn't put a cloud over every wicked, lost person on this earth. He allows the sun to shine on their gardens and ours, their fields and ours. He gives the rain on the wicked people's field as well as the righteous people's fields. We, in our lives, only know that goodness of God because, verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. But one day, the day of the Lord is going to come. And God wants that proclaimed. Remember, this is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus foretold that Jerusalem, not one stone would be left upon another. And that happened in 70 AD. It came to pass. Notice with me in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation 6 and verse 9. You know, there are some people that think they can talk their way out of anything. You know, whether it's a ticket, or in court, or with a boss, or whatever. There are some people that think they can talk their way out of anything, and they might be successful with a lot of people, but not with God. Revelation 6 and verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for what?
The word of God.
The word of God. And for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord? And then what did they say?
Holy and true.
Holy and true. Dost thou not what? Judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell in the earth. So these people, in verse 9, these people are in heaven, their souls under the altar. These people have been martyred. These people have been killed for the word of God, holding to the word of God. And they know in heaven that the people that killed them are still alive. And so they're asking God about it. When are you going to avenge our blood on those that killed us? In verse 11. And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Can you imagine such a shaking this earth is going to experience? Verse 15, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, what? Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the what?
The
wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Can you imagine that? The people of the world, the mountains are going to be shaken, the islands are going to be shaken, and they're going to wish that the mountains would just fall on them. They would wish to be buried in an avalanche of rock than to face Almighty God. That is the day of the Lord coming. Notice in chapter 14, Revelation 14, the Lord wants us proclaimed. Isaiah 61. Revelation 14, 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. And you know, there's a lot of talk back and forth about vaccinations right now. And there's a lot of people that don't want to get them. And there's a lot of people that are all fine with getting them. But the point is the world is being prepped. Now, thus far, unless you're in Australia, I believe in Australia, I might be wrong on this, but I heard in Australia they're trying to force it. And there's talk here about forcing it. There's no longer having a choice. So if you want it, fine. If you don't want it, fine. But it's forcing it. Now, you know, and of course there's some people saying, well, I'm not taking it because the chip is in there, you know. Well, I don't know what's in there, actually. I think there's a lot of people that don't know what's in there, for sure. But nonetheless, the point is we are seeing a world that is being prepped by governments, not just America, but all over. We're seeing a world that's being prepped and saying, you will get this, whether it's the vaccination or the mark or whatever. If you want to buy or sell, if you want to come into our store, if you want to fly on our airplane, if you want to work here, you will get this, what we say. I'm not getting into the vaccine argument. I'm just trying to get you to see the picture of how the world is being prepped for You will do this if you want to work, if you want to buy or sell, if you want to go into the sports arena, you will take what we say or you're going to be ostracized. You're going to be cut off from everything. So that is what we, there's just so many aspects that COVID has brought on. It's just, as we saw it said this morning, you know, COVID, it fits the definition of a pestilence, a deadly contagious disease. Well, deadly for some, others, it doesn't seem to affect them too bad at all. But nonetheless, many have died from it. So this is just a small taste, like we said this morning, of God allowing samples of end time judgments. Why? Because in his long suffering, he wants all people to be saved. And if he gives some samples of it and it wakes some people up that they'd be saved, then praise God. He wants all people to repent and be saved. And so we see in this time, verse 9, that if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Verse 10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. There's a lot of people that don't understand that side of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up, what?
Forever
and ever. And they have what?
No rest
day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. How many of you last night got all the sleep that you wanted? Well, some of you. How many wish you could have got more sleep last night? Yeah, okay. That's the majority. Amen. I'm in that category tonight. Amen. Verse 11, people don't understand. There's going to be no rest day nor night forever and ever and ever for those who experience the wrath of Almighty God, because the blood of Jesus Christ was never applied to their soul. They never repented of their sin and turned to Jesus Christ and asked for forgiveness for whatever reason. Those who did not do that will experience this side of the wrath of God, which we really know nothing about today. We only really know his great patience and long-suffering. Notice in 2 Peter chapter 3. Listen, if the Spirit of the Lord wants this proclaimed, listen, for people to wake up, they need to know the truth. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come, what? As a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with what? A great noise. This morning there was a big bang. Did you hear it this morning? And I thought it was, from my perspective, it sounded like that speaker that we have a short in that we use at the nursing homes, and just a boom, you know? And I guess it's somebody falling into the wall over there. But one day, there's going to be such an explosion of sound. How many of you have ever been in a house where lightning has struck really near the house? It's like instant. You might like hear like the crackling of something, but like there's like an immediate explosion. I can remember, since we've been in this house where we are right now, I don't remember what time it was or nothing, but I must have been in a dead sleep, and there was suddenly just a huge bolt of lightning and crack of thunder. And I jumped out of bed and I looked to the north. In my mind, I thought, We've just been bombed. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking, but I just thought a bomb had been dropped, and then looking out the window, suddenly, oh, it's a storm, you know. But one day, there is going to be such a huge explosion of noise. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come. See that phrase, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in what? A holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So this is a side where mankind does not, for the most part, does not realize this part, this coming, because God has so restrained his wrath. Why? Because he wants more people to be saved, but this will come and people will be absolutely terrified. Is it any wonder, God knowing this will come, notice in Psalm chapter 2, back to our perspective, we only know the patience of God, the long suffering of God, and because of that, we tend to fear man. Because we know God is so long-suffering, he allows so much to go on and happen that sometimes we get fearful because man seems to get away with so much. But notice Psalm 2. Verse 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens, what?
Shall laugh.
Now this is hard for us because when we are living under verse 2, the kings of the earth that are setting themselves against the heavens, against the Lord, for us, verse 4, it's really hard for us to laugh at that point. Because it seems like the wicked and all their power are getting away with a lot. But verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. That reminds me of, there used to be a little hardware store down by Ziegenfuss Lake, between the two lakes. M57 used to be what's old 57, the curve through the Big Hill section, that was a later time. But anyway, there's a hardware store tucked away down there by the lake. And if they didn't have something, they could get it. It was like they went to Grand Rapids. I don't know if it was every day. And so when you went there, if they didn't have it, most generally they could have it the next day. But they were kind of jokers. And so on their counter, I think it was under some glass, maybe it was just taped on the top, but they had this little saying and these like cartoon characters that were like egg-shaped. And on the caption it says, you want it when? And they had these egg cartoon characters laughing and laughing and just rolling over on their sides, and it's like, you want it when? You know? And it makes me think here, verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. It's like, you, puny little man, you're trying to shake your fist at me? It's like one time our Bible teacher talked about, you know, God cannot be tempted with sin. And yet Satan did literally tempt Jesus. But the scripture is talking about, you cannot successfully tempt God. In other words, God has no attraction to sin like we do because we have a sin nature. And so, you know, to us, we're like, we're if sin is steel, we're like a magnet. It's like you get it close and it's, you know, it's stuck right to it. But if you take two magnets and reverse them, suddenly you have a hard time pushing them together because they repel. Well, it's the same way with Jesus. Satan couldn't get Jesus attracted to sin in any way, shape, or form because Jesus is holy and pure, no sin nature. And so all sin to him, and the Bible talks about he suffered in that he was tempted. So man living in the flesh enjoys temptation. Jesus suffered at it. And when we walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, we should have the same impact on us. There shouldn't be an attraction to sin. It should be a repelling from it. But so anyway, our teacher described it like this. It's like, okay, there's an aircraft carrier sitting in the harbor, and somebody comes up with his .22 rifle, and he begins firing at the aircraft carrier with a .22 rifle. Now, is it a real attack? Yes. The ship is being fired at. Is it ever going to sink the ship? No, I don't even think it'd make a dent in that steel. So he could fire all day long. So that was a good illustration there of the temptation of Jesus, that it was futile, is what it was, on Satan's part. But, so he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Verse 5, then shall he speak unto them, what? In his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee, what? The heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with what? Fear. So he's talking, verse 10, to the kings and the judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Verse 12, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that what? Put their trust in him. So it goes right back to it. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. There's going to be a terrific noise of explosion when that happens. What should our Supreme Court be doing right now? Verse 12. Kissing the Son, putting their trust in him, is what they need to be doing. So we are to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Let's go back there to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of what? Vengeance of our God. People need to know this is what is coming. Yes, God is long-suffering. Yes, he causes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust, and his sun on the just and the unjust. But one day there's going to fall from heaven, not rain, but the wrath of Almighty God. But you know what? It's hard for the Lord to talk about that too much, and he goes right back to salvation. He wants people to be saved. He doesn't want people to experience his wrath. Notice back in 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. 2 Peter 3:13. He wants us to proclaim the day of the Lord and the vengeance of God. But then he goes right back. Listen, while there's time, get saved. 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for what? new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Knowing that the day of the Lord is coming, we should live holy, righteous lives. Verse 15. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is what?
Salvation.
Now, if you just back up to verse 10 for a moment. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And so we're looking at the day of the Lord and the wrath of Almighty God. But you know what? Now we get down to verse 15. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. God wants it proclaimed. Listen, the day of wrath is coming. But he wants us to proclaim the salvation that's freely offered today. Notice back in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Do we really realize what is coming? Do we realize the holiness of God? Isaiah 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, how? High and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door, what? Moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, what? Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen who? The King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine what? Iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Well, you know, when we get that vision of his holiness, when we understand the day of the Lord and his vengeance is coming, then how can we not do like Isaiah did here? Verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, what?
Here I am.
Here am I. Send me. Send me. And so if the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus and proclaimed this, the day of the Lord and the vengeance of our God, we as his children also need to make it clear to people, listen, what you are seeing right now, God's mercy and patience, you better get saved, because there's the day of the Lord is coming when his wrath is going to be revealed from heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, help us not to be lulled into complacency. I'm thinking that your patience is going to continue forever, because it is not. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The heavens will pass away with a great noise. And this earth is going to see the wrath of God like it has never experienced it, maybe other than in the flood. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us to be a holy people. Help us to be glad servants of yours, willing to be your messengers. I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we saw at Hathaway Hills today. Lord, help us as your people to be clothed with humility. Father, we look all around this world and so many people are clothed with pride. Just pride oozes out of the cracks. Lord, help us to be clothed with humility. We need your help and your power to reach people that have basically known only your grace and your mercy and your goodness to them, even though they've been wicked. Help us to be able to reach them. We know that's your heart. After you told about the elements melting with fervent heat and the heavens passing away with a great noise, it was right back to your love and your mercy and accounting salvation. That's what you want. You want people to be saved. Father, please help us to reach them before it's too late. In Jesus' name, amen.